North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning. Good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Are we sure? Are we awake? Are we aware that it's Happy Super Sunday at North Rock Church, and that's why Pastor Chad's standing here with a Steve Atwater jersey on, right? If you're a guest with us for the first time, no, I do not preach from a Broncos jersey very often, but we did designate, if you saw on Facebook today, being our team jersey day. So if you see some people wearing those, it's not because we're in denial and think that the Broncos are playing today. We know that they're not, okay? And I was reminded by several of our parishioners on the way in that the Broncos lost. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. But today I get the opportunity to bring to you what I would just consider kind of a pregame talk or a halftime speech, something that helps us rally around the vision and the purpose of God's church in this place. Because whether you realize it or not, as you sit here today, you are a part of Team North Rock and you are a part of Team Jesus. Amen? That is who we are as a people. As we congregate, as we gather together, we are not alone, but we are one team with one purpose. As we tune in later this afternoon to watch the Super Bowl, we know by and large that the team that's going to win this game is the team that has the best strategy and executes that strategy the best to the best of their ability, right? That they make the adjustments that need to be made. Well, you can think about this particular message as what we're calling just healthy church habits, as my kind of pregame speech to help us drill down just a little bit on what we mean when we say we're here to gather, to grow, and to go in Jesus' name towards the things that he's called us to do, okay? So with that being said, I want to pray, and then we're going to read a scripture, and then I'm going to exhort just for a few minutes. I'm going to get all lathered up here and give you a little halftime speech, all right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that your word declares your love over us. That, Lord, as we sit here today, we sit as those who have been enveloped by your grace, who have been filled by your Spirit, and who are called according to your purposes. Lord, as we look into your word today, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us as to what you want to do in our hearts, what you want to do through our lives, and what you want to do in this community of fellowship. We love you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the question that I've been grappling with this week, with this theme, is what would it take for us to be a Super Bowl church, right? A church that's going and playing in the big game, because that's what we're called to do, is play in the big game. And as I'm illustrating by standing here in a Broncos jersey, the Broncos didn't get it done this year, right? That even though that was their intent, that's what they wanted to do, it just didn't come together the way that they had hoped. Good news is there's always next season, amen? Always next season. But I wanted to just take a few minutes here, and I want to remind us of a few of the things that the Bible tells us is true of those who call Jesus Lord, who say he's their king, that this is really who we are as we sit here together today, okay? So 1 Peter 1:22 in the New Living Translation says this. It says, "You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all of your heart." 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, "But you are not to be like that." Those that had rejected the cornerstone of who Jesus is what he's referring to. He says, "But you are not to be like that, for you are a chosen people." Everybody say chosen. "You are a royal priest or royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of the dark and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." So as we begin to talk about what does it mean to be the church of God, we see that there's some very clear directions, there's a very clear game plan for what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. That we are chosen people, that we are his inheritance, or we are his very special possession, right? And that what we're called to do is to learn to live a life of worship, of love, and service. Anybody ever hear that before sitting around here, right? We say it quite a bit around here because that's what we believe that we're called to be and to do. But I want to drill down just a little bit based on a book called 10 Traits of a Healthy Church. It's written by Stephen Macchia. If you ever want to just research what it is that we're trying to do with all of this as an expression of Christ in this world, he does a good job outlining 10 key traits of a healthy church, okay? So I hope you're interested in that, because that's all I got for you today, all right? That's all I got for you. The reminder that whether you feel like it or not today, you are an MVP in God's team. That he's the owner and we are the players, and he has got a good plan to get us to the big game. Amen? All right, so let's talk about just for a few minutes. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, but I want you to see all 10 of these things as we drill down and talk about what it means to live a life of love, worship, and service, okay? So when we talk about living a life of worship, there's three elements that this chat survey is going to help us kind of speak into, and they are seeking God's empowering presence. And I'm going to bore you just a little bit with some definitions today, because when we take this chat, I want us to all be on the same page, executing the same plan, okay? So seeking God's empowering presence is one aspect of living a life of worship. The healthy church actively seeks the Holy Spirit's direction and empowerment for its daily life and ministry. Can I hear an amen right there, right? That we are to practice God-exalting worship, just like we just got done doing. The healthy church gathers regularly at the local expressions of the body of Christ to worship God in ways that engage our heart, mind, soul, and strength of the people, right? We just got done talking about that as a series, as how we walk out this grace, right? The rhythms of grace. And then the third one is spiritual disciplines, okay? We talked about that, whether it's our devotions, our prayer life, our worship, whatever it is, those spiritual disciplines, that says that the healthy church provides training, models, and resources for members of all ages to develop their daily rhythms of spiritual disciplines, okay? So that's what it means to live a life of worship, okay? And in doing so, prayer is the thing that holds together our scripture and the purposes for which we've been called to do. So go ahead and roll it forward one for me. There you go. So we just got done talking about the life of worship, okay? So when we talk about the life of worship, it's those three aspects I just told you about. Now we're going to talk about what it means to live a life of love. Learning and growing in community, okay? That's what we gather together to do. The healthy church encourages believers to grow in their walk with God, with one another, in a safe context, affirming in an affirming environment. Second aspect of living a life of love is being a community of loving and caring relationships. The healthy church is intentional in its efforts to build loving, caring relationships within families, between members, and within a community we serve. We've talked about this at many, many junctures along the way, that loving people or living a life of love would be a lot easier if we were all just in our own little separate bubbles, wouldn't it? Right? It's just, oh, me and my bubble, like nothing ever messes with my bubble. But part of why we're called together is to learn to love one another, learn to love people who have a different background than we do, love people that think differently than we do, love people who act differently than we do, right? That the commitment to a loving and caring relationship is part of why we gather together. The third one is that we practice servant leadership development. That the healthy church identifies, develops individuals whom God has called and has given the gift of leadership and challenges them to become servant leaders. Right? Because I think there's this fallacy that's out there that if I just worship, like if I just have my devotional time and I just worship God, then everything just goes accordingly. But that's not the fullness of what God's called us to be as his church. Amen? That's not what we just read in 1 Peter, right? Servant leadership development is a part of that. And that's the outcome. That's what a life of worship does. It moves us into loving relationships with others, okay? And then from that point, we connect spiritual formation or that life of worship, which is addressing the great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? And then a life of love, right? And love your neighbors as yourself, right? And then the third one is the life of ministry or life of service, and that's addressing the Great Commission, okay? So the Great Commission is reminding us that we don't exist unto ourselves. In other words, the total makeup of what we do as a church isn't simply to make us consumer-oriented folks who just get the benefits of what God does through us. Does that make sense? That we're actually called to pour back out the very lives that Jesus entrusts us with, that he pours his life of love into us. So we live that way with an outward focus, right? With wise administration and accountability, with a networking within the body of Christ, and a stewardship and generosity that impacts others. That's what it means to live with a life of service, okay? That's the game plan that God has designed for his church, and that is what we have the privilege and the opportunity to live out in this place. So, going to a stewardship and generosity, says that the healthy church teaches its members that we are stewards, everybody say stewards, of their God-given resources and challenges them to be sacrificially generous in sharing with others. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 16, verses 11 and 13, said, "So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So I take just this moment to simply say that we are thankful for your generosity in growing in that grace of God in our lives. Many of you are aware that we've been in a decline for about 10 years now. And as such, we want to take some time in a couple of weeks when we have our annual business meeting to kind of talk about what some of the realities of those are. However, I constantly encourage our staff and our team here at North Rock to be reminded that we're walking in God's miracle for us. I hope you believe that, because that's what he's doing. Do you guys realize that just as far back as like 2009, that what it took to run this church the way that we were running it took about $900,000 worth of resource a year? Do you realize that right now we're operating, doing most of the same things at just under $225,000? It's pretty incredible, isn't it? It's pretty incredible that you can have that and still see God moving in the midst of what we're doing, right? So I say all this to say that our giving, our serving, our loving, and our living in Christ is something that we are practicing in the game plan of God for our lives. So I tell you that not because of there's any particular outcome, any particular situation or need. We're okay. God has been generous to us for a very, very, very long time around here, 30 years or so. But I share it because part of my job is to keep us appraised of how we're doing as a house of the Lord here, right? But more so, I share it because I'm ecstatic about the comeback story that God is writing in us. How many of you guys have ever seen a football game where the comeback happens, right? A couple of teams playing in this Super Bowl had a few comebacks this year. The good news, we serve the God of the comeback. We serve the God of resurrection life. We serve the God who causes the dead to rise. Amen? That is what he wants to do in us. That is what we believe he is doing in us. And we are, as much as we can, learning to live into these values, learn to live into these habits of healthy churches so that others would find the life and the love that he's offered us. So I share it because I'm ecstatic about what God can do as his people get a hold of his game plan and execute that in their lives. As we learn to live out the habits of stewardship, as we read, and the generosity principles that God allows us to live in, right? At the end of the day, how much of our lives are his? All, right? It's all his. It's all his. So when you put it all together, when you think, what is it that we're trying to do as a church? What is this whole thing about? How is it that we're called to live together as a people? It's trying to hit the center of that target, right? If you think of that as a dartboard, right? Aiming for that center piece where it all comes together, life of worship, love, and service requires trusting relationships, empowering teams, and a shepherding leadership, okay? So, we are the stewards, or we're the game managers, if you will, of God's team. That Jesus is our MVP, no matter how we feel today, that he is the winning team, right? And as we steward these things together in prayer and in giving and in service, we get to prepare God's people for the works of service. That's the game we play. We get to build up the body of Christ. We get to reach the unity of the faith. We get to become mature, attaining to the full whole measure of who Christ is, gathering, growing, and going as disciple-making disciples, right? How many of you guys today would attest with me that that's way more exciting than a touchdown? Right? That's way more exciting than the Lombardi trophy, right? Like, we have been given the ultimate trophy that cannot be tarnished, that cannot be lost, because we are who he says we are. Learn to love one another in community, amen? So with that being said, how is it that we win the game? How is it that we prevail in this long life of following Christ? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 is really, Ephesians chapter 4 is the model of what we're trying to emulate as a church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds, all exhorting and encouraging the body to bring their gifts before the Lord and to walk in those gifts. But Ephesians 4:16 says, this is how you win the game. It says, for him, Christ, the whole body is joined and held together by every supportive ligament. It grows and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work, right? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I want you to just take a few moments that all of the NFL teams that are sitting at home today, like, they want to be playing today, don't they? Like, they're all sitting home. But they're dreaming about next season, aren't they? What I'm standing here today doing is, one, preaching into this chat survey, because the chat survey is an important element of us determining where we're at as an organization, where we're at as a health of a church. We want to hear your voice. We want to start that conversation. We want to know in those 10 areas where you're being inspired and where we need to do some more work, right? Where we need to fine-tune some things. We need to make some game time adjustments, all right? So your voice is important. We want you to take that step and do that. But the second reason that we share this, and as I stand here today, is because I'm asking you to dream with us again. I'm asking you to come back to the Lord as we go into 2019 and dream about what does it look like to be a Super Bowl caliber church. How is it that we can worship and love and serve our way into this next season to see God's work in us extended for another generation into another season? Amen? Amen. So as the worship team leads us in a song, it's reminding us that no matter how we feel here today, one talent, two talent, three, that because Jesus is our MVP, that we can return a 7, 8, 9, 10 talent return on investment. Amen? That together we are the body of Christ. And together we are learning to grow and go in Jesus' name. Amen? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're here to do. And I, for one, along with you, am committed to another championship run here at North Rock. Can we do that, church? Can we dream again? Can we give our voice to what's happening and what's going on around us through this chat? And can we make time to both pray and to contribute to the work of God in our midst? If you would you stand with us as we sing this song and be reminded that we are who he says we are. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your generosity, your mercy in our lives. Lord, that where we were once bound in sin, Lord, we have been set free. Where we were once not a people, today we stand as a people of God, your team represented for the purposes which you have called us and set us apart. Help us, Lord, to live out this life of worship, love, and service, gathering together in Jesus' name, growing in the spiritual disciplines of living your life and going back into our communities, our schools, our families, and reminding people that you are a God who loves and heals and delivers and strengthens us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Father, we do just take a moment. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we recognize that without you, Lord, we have outpunted our coverage, so to speak. But Lord, in you, Lord, we are a championship caliber team. And so we ask you today that if maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I don't know that I've got a relationship with Jesus as I stand here today. I don't know that I've already been chosen and selected to be on Team Jesus. If that's you here today, we'd like to pray with you as a community, because that's what we are here at North Rock, as a community of faith, and respond to the prayer that many of us have prayed a lot of times. But today, let's pray it like it's our very first. And let's be reminded that no matter where we're at in life, no matter what situations we're trying to navigate in life, as we stand here today, we are a part of Team Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. Let me hear you. Follow you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, can we applaud the Lord like we're going to applaud today? Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are good and you are ultimate. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for being here at North Rock today. God bless you all. Have a great week. If you need prayer for any need in your life, we would love to pray with you. If you said yes to Jesus for the first time today, I'd love to meet you after the service and give you some tools to help you get started in this journey, okay? God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.